63rd Psalm. As we continue our theme this month of entering His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise, we come this morning to a psalm of personal worship. Whereas last Lord's Day we saw a psalm of corporate worship, this morning the focus of the psalmist is on a personal and private level. You'll notice at the top the psalm is a psalm of David when he was in the desert of Judah. Listen as the psalmist expresses himself to God. O God, You are my God. Earnestly I seek You. My soul thirsts for You. My body longs for You in a dry and weary land where there is no water. I have seen You in the sanctuary and beheld Your power and glory. Because Your love is better than life, my lips will glorify You. I will praise You as long as I live, and in Your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise You. On my bed, I remember You. I think of You through the watches of the night. Because You are my help, I sing in the shadow of Your wings. I stay close to You. Your right hand upholds me. They who seek my life will be destroyed. They will go down to the depths of the earth. They will be given over to the sword and become food for jackals. But the king will rejoice in God, and all who swear by God's name will praise Him, while the mouths of liars will be silenced. David, the king, should have seen it coming. Just about everyone else in Israel had seen it coming, but David didn't. He'd been living in denial for 4 years as his handsome son Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. Absalom would stand at the gate of the city, and whenever anyone came in from all of Israel to find judgment from the king, Absalom would stop them. And as they would find out he was the king's son and start to bow down before him, he would reach and grab them and hug them and kiss them. And he would say, "Oh, if I were king in Israel, you'd receive justice." And over a 4-year period of time, the Bible says he stole the hearts of the men of Israel. But for 4 years, David turned his head the other direction. And now Absalom had made his move, and word had reached the king in his palace that Absalom had declared himself king in Hebron and was now on his way to Jerusalem with all of the army of Israel with him. The king grabs his family and the clothes on his back, and he runs for his life. The Bible in 2 Samuel 15 tells us that the king left in such haste that he left the palace barefooted to run for his life. The text says he crossed over the Kidron Brook and walked up the Mount of Olives, covering his head and weeping every step of the way. As I read that text over and over again this week, it dawned on me that the king, as he left the palace and walked up the Mount of Olives, shed tears on the same ground that our Lord would shed tears on the night of His arrest. And the Bible says David went on over the summit of the Mount of Olives and on out into the Judean desert. And out there in the Judean desert, at the fords of the desert, waiting to cross Jordan, he stopped and waited to hear word of Absalom's next move. Somewhere in the loneliness of that moment, stripped of everything that had been a part of his life for years, the king stops and pens this song. It's a prayer to God that expresses something of a different nature than you would expect a man writing a prayer in those kinds of circumstances. For David is stripped now of everything. He's stripped of his title. He's stripped of his throne. He's stripped of his army. He's stripped of his palace. He's stripped of his throne. Everything has been taken from him. And out there in the desert alone, he writes this prayer to God. And it isn't a prayer that I would have written. Oh God, give me back my throne. God, give me back my army. God, get me back in Jerusalem. Give me back my throne. God, give me the things that I've enjoyed most of my life. It is a very different prayer from that. He says, oh God, stripped of everything, the only thing that matters now is you. For out there in the desert, lonely and dry and dehydrated, David's chain pulled at the only anchor of his life. And that anchor was God, his Lord and Shepherd. The psalm was sung every morning by the early church. Chrysostom, the early church historian and writer, says that every morning the early Christians sang this psalm. And Chrysostom said it was a way of purging our lives of sin and preparing us to go out and to live for Christ every day of our lives. The psalm is divided into two very easily determined areas. One, seek God. That's verse 1. And number 2, remember God. That's verses 2 and following. I want you to notice as the king writes from the desert of Judah, seek God. He says, oh God, you are my God, earnestly I seek you. That word translated earnestly is a word in the Hebrew that means to break in on something or to break in on somebody. It was as if David is saying, God, I want to break into your presence. I want to break into your throne room. I want to break in and experience that encounter with you that will help me in my desert time in life. Some version might translate it early. Early I will seek you. We sing that great hymn, Holy, 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 early in the morning, my song shall rise to you. It is a word that describes the dawn breaking in on the darkness. And that's why it is translated early in some versions. And David is saying, God, I want to break into your presence. For out here, stripped of everything in life, you're the only thing that matters. And earnestly I seek you. He says, my soul thirsts for you. In the desert of Judah, it's easy for temperatures to reach 150 degrees on the floor of that desert. It doesn't take very long for the body to begin to thirst. And it would have been the experience of David and all of those who went with him as the king trudges across the Judean desert barefooted for him to get physically thirsty. But David says, there is a thirst in my life that surpasses the physical thirst out here in the desert. And that thirst is, I long for you, O God. My body longs for you. McLaren wrote a statement years ago that said, we are Christians to the extent that we long for God. I wonder this morning if maybe you might be in a desert time in your life. And if maybe some of the words of the psalmist begin to describe how you feel inside. That on the inside, you feel dry and dehydrated and parched. And maybe the expression of your heart might be the same as the psalmist. Oh God, earnestly I seek you. I want that refreshing presence and power that only you can give me. David says, I seek him with a totality in life. My soul thirsts. My body longs. It's as if David is saying, my body, my soul, my spirit, my emotion, all of me wants all of you, God. And he says, out here in this dry and weary land where there is no water, I long for you. There is a plant called the resurrection plant that you can buy at this last stop gas stations before you go in the Chihuahuan Desert or in the Big Bend country of Texas. Stop at some of these last stop gas stations and they've got all these little things you can buy. You can buy a little plant called the resurrection plant. It looks like you've bought a dead stick with withered leaves. But an amazing thing happens in the Chihuahuan Desert with a resurrection plant when it rains, which is very rarely. Or if you should buy one of those plants and pour water on it within an hour, it's as if life has been resurrected in that dead stick that you bought. The leaves begin to uncurl and turn green and get verdant and lush. And it's as if there's a resurrection in nature and thus the name resurrection plant. Do you understand, folks, that God will do that for you spiritually, what He does in the physical world with a resurrection plant? Do you think that God would do in the physical world for a resurrection plant what He would not do for you in the spiritual realm? Nonsense. That when you begin to seek God earnestly and long for Him and thirst for Him, God can resurrect in that dry, parched soul that dwells in your life that resurrection of refreshment only God can give. Seeking. The promise of the New Testament is when you seek Him, you will find Him. And then David turns his mind back to remembering God. Out there in the desert, he remembered back to the sanctuary. He says, I've seen you in the sanctuary. I've beheld your power and your glory. David had been in the sanctuary on many occasions and had looked beyond the priests and beyond the sacrifices and beyond the ritual and beyond the ceremony. And with the eyes of faith, he had seen the power and the glory of God. And out there in the desert, he prays, God, I want so far from home and so far from your sanctuary, I want out here in the desert what I've seen in the sanctuary. I want to see your power and your glory. You see, folks, when we come together, we don't come together that we might just gather. We come together that we might be resurrected. We come together that we might encounter the living God. We come together, as David says, that we might see His power and His glory. We're to look beyond all the accoutrements. We're to look beyond all the paraphernalia and all of the cotton candy of life. We're to look beyond the preacher and beyond the traditions. And we're to try to see, by the eyes of faith, the living God. That's why we're here. David says, because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. As David called to mind the things of God, he said, there's one thing more precious than life itself. It's your love, O God. He's saying, in essence, without your love, life is a desert. And life isn't worth living, O God, without your loving kindness in my life. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. Over and over in the Psalms, you encounter the psalmist describing lifting his hands to God. It was the posture of prayer for the Hebrew. It was sort of an outward symbol of an inward uplifted heart toward God. But the ideas that are behind that lifting go beyond just the outward symbol of an uplifted heart. When a little child would run to his daddy, and even today, when a little child runs to his daddy, what do? They lift their hands as if to say, Daddy, lift me up. And the dad picks up the child and holds him to his bosom. And it was the Hebrews' way of saying, as I lift my hands to God, it is a way of saying, oh God, lift me into your presence and hold me to your bosom. But it was also a statement of surrender. You remember in the ancient world, if an army conquered another army to the point they laid down their weapons, they threw down their weapons and held up their hands to show the people, there is no weapon in my hand, I am surrendering. And so when the Hebrew prayed and he held up his hand, he was saying, oh God, I surrender myself. I submit myself to you as king. Maybe it's no wonder that Paul commanded the young evangelist Timothy. He said, it is my desire that men everywhere lift holy hands in prayer. Surrender. And God, pick me up into your presence and hold me. He says, my soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. On Friday, there were several of us that went up to Guthrie to a play about C.S. Lewis. It's called Shadowlands. Let me tell you, that unless you're ready to get your gut wrenched, you don't want to go see this play. It's about the grief that C.S. Lewis experienced in the losing of his wife. We decided we'd go to Guthrie and eat. And for some unknown reason, I was so hungry Friday night when we left, I thought I was going to die. I mean, I know you find that hard to believe, but I thought I was going to die. I mean, as my daddy used to say, I was as empty as a gutted snowbird. I mean, I had nothing. I was ready to eat. And so we go up there, and we go to this buffet thing, and I look at this buffet that's all stretched out here, and I'm thinking, that looks so good. They had turkey and dressing and gravy and ham and green beans and potatoes. They had salad. They had about every kind of pie that you could look at and the biggest homemade rolls I'd ever seen. And y'all hungry? Feeling hungry yet? And as I looked at that buffet, I thought to myself, oh, I am so hungry. I hope that tastes half as good as it looks. And it did. And I ate and I ate until I didn't think I could put another bite. Not one piece of pie, but 2 pieces of coconut cream pie. And as I finished, you know, and I kind of pushed away from the table, I kind of said to myself, ah, that was so good. What I had anticipated in seeing, I had experienced, and I felt satisfied. David says, oh God, there is only one thing that can satisfy my spirit like that, your presence. That's the only thing that can satisfy. As a man who pushes back from the table, having experienced the richest of foods, says, that was so good and satisfying. So God, in this desert, I need you now to satisfy me. On my bed, I remember you and I think of you through the watches of the night. As David waited at the fords of the desert before he crossed Jordan to hear word, he recalled to mind the times he'd laid awake at night and looked up at the sky of the Judean desert and remembered God. Studies have shown that 1 out of every 5 Americans have some form of chronic insomnia. That means you start down the aisle, 1 out of every 5 have some kind of chronic insomnia that you can't sleep all night, or you can't go to sleep at night, or you sleep for a while and you wake up and you can't go back to sleep at night. Chronic insomnia. Tonight in the United States, we will take, in this country, 30 million sleeping pills. Now think on that a minute. 30 million sleeping pills a day are consumed in the United States of America. Someone trying to get sleep. As David thought about those sleepless moments in his own life, he didn't say, oh God, I'm worried about what's going to happen to me. I'm worried about what Absalom is going to do if he catches me. I'm worried about whether I'm going to go back to Jerusalem as king or back to Jerusalem as a corpse. God, I'm not worried about that. He says, as I think about you during the watches of the night, you alone are what I think. Can I ask you a question? What do you think about during those sleepless hours? What would it be like to turn your attention to thoughts of God? He says, because you're my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings and I stay close to you and your right hand upholds me. David remembered out there at the fords of the desert the protection of God. Like a hen that would gather her chicks under her wing to protect them, David says, so I sing from the shadow of your wing. I know that no matter what comes my way, ultimately I have the protection of God. I talked to a close friend on Friday. His name is Jerry Jones. He's an evangelist, a preacher, lives in St. Louis. I've known Jerry Jones since before I became a Christian. In fact, he used to pray for me before I obeyed the gospel of Christ. That's how far back we go. And I was talking to him, and he was sharing with me what a tough 2 months it had been. His brother suddenly died. His wife is struggling with a malignancy. The doctors told her she probably wouldn't see her 55th birthday, which was October the 3rd. But she did see her birthday, but she's really struggling. And Claudette knows that her time is coming soon. And Jerry read to me on the phone Friday afternoon a note that Claudette had sent to a friend of hers last week. Here's what she said in the note. The closer I get to eternity, the more impatient I'm becoming. For the closer I get to eternity, the more I long for it. You see, folks, when you're under the protection of God's wing, there is no disease and no circumstance and no pain and no happening that can rob you of the assurance you have in Christ. And one of these days, neath the shadow of His wing, we will sing throughout eternity because God upholds us and holds us securely to Him. It's no wonder that the psalmist, out in the desert as he focused on God, had his spirit soaring before he's done. He says the king is going to rejoice in God, and all those who call on His name are going to rejoice and praise Him. Folks, that ought to be the story of our lives every single day. That corporately, when we come together, as the 95th Psalm says, we're singing for joy and we'll bow the knee before Him. And privately, we'll seek Him and we'll remember Him every day of our lives. Even during the watches of the night, we'll think on Him. Let's pray together. Our Father and our God, some of us here are in the time of desert. And we feel dry and dehydrated and empty. And the words of the psalmist can be our words this morning. And we pray earnestly that we might seek You. For we tell You that our soul thirsts for You, our body longs for You. And we pray that if we're not in the desert this morning, this psalm might be an encouragement to us, that we'll take it with us. For soon we'll probably be in the desert. Thank You for the promise of the refreshment You bring by Your presence. May we encounter You, and may we be encouraged by Your presence in us. In Christ we pray.
Oh God. in thy name. So I will bless thee as long as I live and in the shadow of thy wings. I sing for joy. So I will bless thee.
Dr. Robert Weber wrote an article. He said, let's put the worship back in the worship service. Throughout the article, he was talking about the tendency in so many modern churches to give substitutes in the place of real worship. One of the substitutes he calls the lecture approach to worship. He described that as being a place where we come, we gather, and someone fills our minds with facts about God, but there's no real, refreshing encounter with God. One of them he calls the evangelistic approach, a substitute for worship. Where people come together and plead and beg with other people to follow Jesus. While we need to understand, we plead with them and we beg with them and we teach them and we encourage them and we share the gospel with them. We do not come here to worship decisions. We come here to worship the living God. And the other substitute he talked about hits really close to home. It's called the self-help approach to worship. It's where the me generation comes dressed in church clothes. We come and we learn how we might be better adjusted and happier in life. Where I'm coming, I'm told that me, along with a little help from God, might learn where health, wealth, and beauty is in life. But folks, all of those are absolutely substitutes to what David described in Psalm 63. It was the intention of the psalmist that at the fords of the desert of Judea, his one desire in all the earth was that he might have a fresh encounter with God. I hope and pray that's your desire. And this morning, if you feel like you're in one of those desert times in your life and you need God more than you need anything else in life, when life has been stripped to its basic and everything has been taken from you that you once counted valuable, and your chain pulls at only one anchor, and that being God, it may be that this morning you want to come and say, I'm in the desert and I need some help and I need the refreshment of God's presence in my life. This morning, whatever your need might be, this is a church family who stands ready, prepared to encourage and bless you in your walk with Christ. And if we can serve and help you in any way, you come now at His invitation while we stand and sing.
Have thine affections been nailed to the cross? Is thy heart right?
Before I forget and get in trouble by Ron Lovett, the Christmas story is right around the corner, and I think there are more details coming, but he said that there will be boxes available beginning Wednesday night all around the building. So start bringing your stuff. Let's get our Christmas store ready. As we think about worshiping and praising God, we want to close with this song to exalt Him. This song will dismiss us, so we'll be closed after this song.
Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let Your glory fill the earth. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let Your glory fill the earth. Your love higher than the heavens, Your faith. faithfulness reaches to the skies. Lord, I will sing. Lord, I will praise you. I will worship the Lord Most High. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory fill the earth. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory fill the earth. Raise your love higher than the heavens.
And
your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Lord, I will sing.
Lord,
I will praise you.
I will praise you.
I will worship the Lord Most High. Most High. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory fill the earth. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory fill the earth. Be exalted, O God.